I'm a great fan of the Elijah stories, which can be found in the first book of Kings. I often tell people, if you're interested in the Bible, you want to get into it for the first time, begin with those stories about Elijah. They're very interesting, kind of adventurous. And Elijah is a figure whose name gives away the game. Elijah is an anglicization of Eliyahu in Hebrew. El means God, Yahu means Yahweh. Yahweh is my God. That's who Elijah is. He's someone who's very clear on his ultimate value, which is Yahweh. I've often said, you can tell an awful lot about a person by what they worship. Worship just means worth-ship. That's where the word comes from. What's of highest worth to you? What's of highest value? So if your family is of highest value, you're a family man. You're a family woman. If your business is most important to you, you're a company man. You know, if sex is most important to you, you're a playboy or a playgirl. Pleasure is the most important thing, you're a good time Charlie. I mean, you can name somebody from what they worship. Elijah is eminently clear about whom he worships. It's Yahweh. And therefore, everything else in his life flows from that. Everything he thinks, everything he does. Think, for example, we are introduced to Elijah when he confronts King Ahab, who had gone over to the worship of false gods. So, of course, the man of God is going to stand athwart that move. That's why Queen Jezebel, Ahab's wife, goes after Elijah and chases him. He runs away from her and he comes, the Bible tells us, to Horeb, the mountain of God. And now this famous scene unfolds. Elijah's there on Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And it says, the Lord will be passing by. And then there followed a great earthquake. There followed a mighty wind that shattered the rocks. There followed a great fire. By the way, three things that were on Mount Sinai when Moses was there. So three classical signs of God's presence. But the Lord is not in the earthquake or the wind or the fire. Then Elijah hears a tiny whispering voice. And he covers his head with his prophet's mantle and he goes out to listen because the Lord is in that little voice. Right? Beautiful scene, very lyrical. What's it getting at? I think it's getting at conscience. What's the tiny whispering voice? It's that voice that we all recognize that tells us right from wrong, that rewards us in this absolutely unique way. When we've done something that's generous and kind and godly, and that punishes us in that absolutely unique way when we've done something that runs counter to God's will. Cardinal Newman, one of my great heroes, referred to the conscience as the aboriginal vicar of Christ in the soul. So Newman reverenced the Pope as the vicar of Christ, but he said there's a more original vicar of Christ in the soul, a representative of Christ. Namely, the voice of the conscience. Now, I know, we're all post-Freudians. We tend to say, well, conscience, you know, that's just the internalized voice of your father. That's the inherited prejudice of your society. That's all your hang-ups, et cetera, et cetera. Well, say that all you want. You know, and those things are real. I get all that. But say it all you want. You cannot reduce the conscience to those things. There's something that is just so powerful and clear and integral about it that we know it's not just a matter of hang-ups and repressions or internalized voices of the Father. There's something about the conscience that presses upon us with enormous power. You know, let me get at it too, and I'm using Newman here as an inspiration, by way of contrast. So I write an article every week. That's part of my job. And I kind of have a sense, having written things for many, many years, that's a good one. You know, that article was good. I've got an inner sense that tells me, yeah, that article was, it's good, it's clear, it's interesting, etc. I've also got a pretty clear sense when an article isn't so good. I'll say, well, that one was, yeah, it's okay, but it's not really up to par. Or that's really a second-rate article. Now, I know that feeling, and I know the positive quality of that feeling. I also know the negative quality of that feeling. My point is, it's not like the conscience. What I feel when I say, yeah, I've written a good article, it's good, it's a good feeling, it's not like the feeling that I get from doing something morally right. Or the feeling I get from writing a bad article. It's bad, but it's not like the feeling of conscience. when I've done something morally wrong. We'd use the word shame there. You know, I'm ashamed when I do something that is cruel or unjust or manipulative or disrespectful. I feel ashamed of that. I don't feel ashamed when I write a bad article. I feel bad about it. I regret it, you might say. But I don't feel ashamed. Now, see, here's Cardinal Newman's point. We call the conscience a voice. I don't call that sensibility about the article a voice. The voice of my literary sensibility told me. I don't say that. But I do say the voice of my conscience told me that's the right thing to do, or that was a bad thing to do. Now, why? Why? Because the conscience places us in the presence of someone that we love. That when you are rewarded by your conscience, it's the feeling you get when you've pleased someone that you love. When you are punished by your conscience, it's the feeling you get when you have hurt or disappointed someone that you love. You see, that's why the conscience is the aboriginal vicar of Christ in the soul. It's the contact we have, if you want, with the personal God who rewards us and who chides us when we're less than what we should be. Go back to Elijah now. Eliyahu, the man of God. Elijah was ordered to God. His whole life was about God. Everything else fell in place around that. The point of that story from 1 Kings is Elijah had the great grace to be able to hear that little voice. See, the problem is the conscience can be drowned out. The conscience can be ignored. We can look the other way. Because there are 1,000 voices competing for our attention. 1,000 voices. And they're more like earthquakes and fire and wind. They're more extraordinary. And they call out to us, live this way, do this, don't do that. Think of a kid coming of age now in our culture being told in a million ways, here's what you should do. Here's the life you should lead. Follow this person. Do you have the capacity, amidst all those voices, to hear that tiny whispering voice? Because that's the one you got to pay attention to. The Lord said, it profits a man nothing to gain the whole world and lose his soul. You know, there are voices that are calling out to young people that might actually promise them and even deliver to them the whole world. All the pleasure and money and power and so on they want. But how tragic if you follow those voices, but in the process lose your soul, which means lose what your conscience is telling you. So I would urge, especially young people listening to this video, is think of that scene of the prophet Elijah on God's holy mountain as he hears that one voice. That's the one you need to follow.